Enemy Radio. Show 3, here we go. I'm actually recording this the same night as show 2, so I'm still in the pub. It's 3:37 a.m. I have nothing else to do, to be honest with you. I am essentially on fucking guard duty for a locked up pub. I'll tell you this though, it's kind of fucking unnerving. I'm on my own in the pub. I've been on my own in the pub loads of times. But I think I'm just so over-caffeinated at the moment that every noise I hear, I'm running around checking it out, you know. And if somebody walks by the pub, I kind of creep up to the window and look out to see who they are. And I've got my car parked outside, so I'm kind of nervous about the car being out there. Even though I've left the car here for days on end before and just kind of gone home and forgot about it. So it's just weird. It's fucking weird being in here at the moment. But we'll persevere. I'm gonna fill the time by recording a couple of shows all at once and see how we get on. I kind of want to do a show based on movies. I'd like to give each show a rough kind of theme. I'll probably deviate massively every time, but I'd like to give a show, like I said, just a little bit of a kind of a half a theme. Movies. I watch a lot of movies and I watch a lot of TV shows. I don't really watch TV, so I kind of download stuff and I stream stuff, and if someone tells me, oh, such and such a film is on tonight at 8 o'clock, you know, if I have time or I'm off or whatever, I'll do my best to watch as much of it as possible. There you go, I just got freaked out, some light shone in the window there, nearly shit myself. I don't know what the story is. One of the guys who used to work here, Rory, he was convinced this place was haunted, and ever since then, I've kind of called it the TH Phantom, and I don't think the place is haunted at all. It's just a fucking building. But now I think he's right. I'm definitely gonna get fucking molested by a ghost tonight, because there's no way I'm gonna fucking sleep. It's gonna be getting bright in a few minutes. I'm surprised it's not getting bright now. It could be the weather kind of changed today, so maybe there's a lot of cloud cover or something like that. But anyway, back to the movies. I watch a fair bit of TV. Our television shows and movies. I watch my stupid hours. So when I finish work, obviously you might finish at 2 or 3 in the morning, and you don't go home and straight into bed after work. You know, you wouldn't do that if you finish work at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock or whatever. You know, you need an hour or two, maybe more, to just get some food, relax, kind of decompress, and get your brain into that sleeping mode. But I watch a lot of stuff. I watched I go to cinema a lot as well. Actually, surprisingly, somebody who goes to the cinema, I go to the Odeon Cinema in the Point Village, just because it's pretty close to me, and it's really fucking weird. It's just an abandoned giant warehouse that they just kind of fuck the cinema in, and if you park in there, I don't know if you've ever been there, if you go and you park there, it's a pain in the bollocks trying to get to the cinema. You have to go, like, you kind of have to go down one floor to get up to the top floor, and it's like some sort of maze, and then sometimes, like, the escalators aren't working, and there's no steps, you know, and sometimes there's a lift that only stops on one level. It's fucked up. It's like someone on acid designed the place, and it's completely empty. Like, you could be walking for 10 minutes and see absolutely nothing. There's corridors to nowhere, that literally you could turn right and just walk to the end. It's nothing there. You have to go back, and it's a different experience every time you go there. But it can be cheap. I think on a Wednesday it's like €4 or something to go and see a movie. The problem is that it's full of fucking dirtbags who just scream and shout and laugh and talk on their phone and that type of bullshit. So I do my best to try and go at odd hours, to avoid as much of that as possible. But I went to see The Hangover 3 last week. I think it was last week. And I thought the first Hangover was actually funny, I have to say. It was just stupid enough for me to laugh at it. For me, a comedy either has to be incredibly smart or really stupid. Usually really stupid to get the big laughs out of me. There's nothing like somebody getting kicked in the balls, really, is there, to make you laugh. Like, so Hangover, it was funny, you know, I enjoyed it. It was out there. It had enough wackiness in there for me to like it. The Alan character was fantastic. I mean, all of them were good, you know. Everybody kind of filled their little role. Lots of people could relate to it, you know. You had a couple of, I'm sure we've all had a couple of crazy nights out where we've done some stupid shit. And it kind of goes down in infamy then, and everybody talks about it the next time they meet up. It kind of obviously based on that idea, you know, of loads of lads getting locked, doing mad shit and talking about it. And the second one was fucking shocking. It was fucking shockingly bad. It really was. And it's one of those things where, you know, you talk to somebody, they go, you know, it wasn't as good as the first one. Are you fucking for real? Like, there's no point. The word good and The Hangover 2 should never be put together. There's not a single fucking laugh or giggle or anything. It's absolute fucking scutter. It's scutter, as my old one would say. Fucking scutterology. The least funny thing I've probably fucking seen in a long time. I'm lashing the coffee into me here to stay awake. And it's just terrible. So I don't know whether I had high hopes for the third one or whether I thought it was going to be more of the same. And it turned out to be pretty much more of the same. It just wasn't funny. It was just had no laughs, no giggles, no just dry, kind of regurgitated bullshit. You know, the stuff that they used to make the movie funny. I'm smoking again now. The stuff they used to make the first movie funny, they've done it to death now. It's lost all fucking all hope. Hopefully that's the end of it. They probably will go back and make another one. You know, I always do my thing when I go and see a film, and I come out, and if I'm with somebody, I don't talk to them. You know, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to talk about the movie, because you can hear people as you're queuing up to get out the door or whatever. You go in to take a piss and you hear everybody like, oh, you know, did you see that bit? And, you know, that was good, that was bad. I fucking hate listening to other people's opinions on movies, so I feel bad for you now having to listen to mine. But I always keep my mouth shut until kind of in the car or on the bus or whatever, you know. And it was one of those movies that the minute it was over, I turned around to her and I said, that was fucking shocking. Fuck, I was actually annoyed. It was so bad I was thinking about going back to the counter and seeing if there was any way of getting a refund. It was so fucking terrible. It was atrocious. Another movie I watched was Iron Man 3. Big Iron Man fan. The movies are so good. Never so much into the comics. The comics had one or two high points. But as a real Iron Man was always a better kind of a ensemble cast character, carrying his own thing. I don't know what it was. It was just, at the end of the day, it was just a dude in a suit, and that's obviously what the third one was about. That the whole movie seemed to be an answer to a question that Captain America put to him in the Avengers movie, you know, what are you without the suit? So to answer that, nobody really wanted that answer, to be honest with you. So the new director, yeah, he wanted to answer that, so he gave us an Iron Man movie with fuck all Iron Man in it until the end, and then it just kind of turned into Transformers. You know, there were so many fucking plot holes. I mean, you can forgive a certain amount of plot holes in a comic book movie, but there were some atrocious ones in that. I mean, the whole idea that Tony Stark could control the fucking the armor independently with his mind. Yet spent most of the movie dragging around a broken piece of armour in some kid's garage. Terrible. Shocking. The bad guy principal with the Mandarin. I kind of liked what they were doing with that up until the reveal. If you haven't seen Iron Man 3 and you have any interest in watching it, just skip ahead, because I'm going to ruin all the movies I talk about. I'm going to ruin them. Just giving out about them. But up until the reveal that the Mandarin isn't really the Mandarin, it's an actor. And then the extremist thing that they brought in. Now, if you're a comic book fan, pretty much one of the only Iron Man comics worth reading in the last couple of years was Iron Man Extremis. I think Warren Ellis wrote it, and Eddie Granoff done the art. And fantastic. It's so fucking good. It's really good. It's almost a reinvention of Iron Man. Warren Ellis' stuff is usually really good when he's given kind of borders to stick to, you know. When he goes crazy, it can either be fucking amazing, like Transmetropolitan, or it can be dicey. But the Extremist thing, they just kind of dropped the ball with it. They missed the whole point of the Extremist thing. If you've never read the comic, the whole idea is that there's this kind of biological virus that terrorists have taken over, and they inject it into people, and they basically get essentially superpowers for a limited time before they kind of burn too hot and die. And Iron Man has to fight fucking some of these extremist dudes, and the dude who kind of he was unleashed on people. And by the end of it, Tony Stark has figured out a way how to use the extremist virus to host the Iron Man armor. So the whole idea is that the Iron Man armor is kind of like a liquid polymer that lives in the hollows of his bones and leaks out his pores when he needs it. So he doesn't have to carry around like the suitcase or have a big giant box with the armor and robots to put the armor on him and all this kind of stuff. It literally leaks out of his pores, and it creates a satellite uplink with his brain, so we can see through satellites and things like that. It was a great twist on the whole Iron Man thing. It brought, like, the whole Iron Man concept that came around years ago was based on the idea of kind of futuristic technology, and this guy, he was so smart that he could build armor and do X, Y, and Z things. But they fucked with it so much over the years that it lost all kind of futuristic approach. They just threw random fucking fantasy elements towards it, and it just kind of lost its punch. But the way Ellis and Granoff brought it together was really cool, that they were able to kind of use things that are forthcoming in the future, like nanobots and nanites and stuff like that, and work the Iron Man armor into that. And it was fantastic. But in the movie, they didn't go near the idea of Tony Stark creating armor that would live in the hollows of his bones and leak out through his skin and form the armor. They kept, in fact, there must have been 30 different fucking Iron Man armors in this movie. Like I said, by the end of it was basically Transformers. There was so much shit going on, I hadn't a clue what the fuck was happening. There was Iron Man fists flying around with, like, jets shooting out of him, punching dudes in the face, and he was falling through the sky, jumping from piece of armor to piece of armor, and it just, all the one-liners fell flat, all the comedy element to the movies that kept them that little bit lighthearted and fun, that was fucking gone. The cool kind of rock and roll soundtrack, a lot of that was taken away. I mean, the intro song was Blue. I'm not even going to sing it. The Little Man Who Lives in a Blue World. You'll remember it if you hear it. But, like, the minute I heard that, I was like, oh no, here we go. This is not fucking good. They brought Iron Patriot into it. Just about. Doesn't really make any sense to throw him in there. There was just so much shit thrown at it that it just got fucking old real quick. Another movie I watched recently was Stoker, with Nicole Kidman, and I didn't know what it was about. I hadn't a clue what the fuck it was about, and I watched it, and bored to tears, to be honest with you. And I like a good psychological thriller, I like a good psychological horror, you know. If it's done well, it can be fantastic. To me, I could be wrong, people could disagree with me, as always. I just thought it was really fucking flat. It wasn't really about anything. Nicole Kidman was the big ticket name on it, and might as well not been in it. And she's fucking riddled with plastic surgery now. There was some close-ups on her, and she's just beginning to fall into that kind of jelly mold of fucking aging Hollywood actresses. You know, you can see the fucking Botox, you can see where the lips are being done, you see where the nose is being reshaped. You know, from a distance, she looks like the same old Nicole Kidman, but up close, she's just beginning to look like every fucking body else, every other aging starlet in Hollywood, which is really weird to see. But it's just really flat. Something about fucking serial killer uncle / brother-in-law comes to live with the family after a father dies. It's honestly not very good. To me, it just bored me to fucking tears. It really wasn't great. Also, Dark Knight Rises was the third Batman movie. It's one of the biggest letdowns of my entire life. People loved it. I talked to people, comic book fans, and it's weird. There seems to be comic book fans and Batman fans. It's odd, you know. And talked about them, but like, oh man, it was so good. It was so good. I couldn't believe it. And I couldn't believe we were talking about the same movie, because it was terrible. It was so fucking disappointing. We're talking about plot holes again. There's a shitload of them in that movie. But just everything about it, it's another one of these movies, Batman's not in it. It was the fucking Bruce Wayne show. And it's not like I'm such a Batman fanboy that, you know, Batman has to be in it for an hour and a half, 2 hours. But like the Bane character is so bad. Bane is my favourite Batman bad guy of all time. I don't know, ever since I kind of read Nightfall and stuff like that, I've always been leaning towards him being my favourite. I kind of decided a couple of years ago that he was for me the perfect bad guy. He was intelligent, he was, you know, physically able to fight Batman, the first guy to physically defeat Batman, all that kind of stuff. And they bring him into the movie, and I didn't mind that they made him sound, I think the whole idea was supposed to sound like a posh Irish traveller, isn't that what whatever his face, the actor, he said he was supposed to sound like an Irish bare knuckle fighter, traveller guy, something like that. And I actually quite liked the uniform, the costume. I thought it was cool looking. It was a cool little modern uptake on the Bane uniform. I don't think the kind of Mexican luchador mask would work really on film. But I thought he looked great. Physically big enough. It turns out later that a lot of the kind of his muscle mass and stuff like that was CGI'd on. I know they changed the voice in editing because nobody could understand the voice. So they changed that and made that a little bit more legible. But whatever. Like, to me, it sounded great. And he looked great. Catwoman might as well have not been in a just absolutely pointless fucking character. Pointless character. What really got me fucking on me tits about the whole thing was the Batmobile, the Tumbler. They make a big deal out of the Batmobile. The Tumbler in the first kind of two movies saying, oh, you know, it's a special experimental model. There's, you know, this is the only one. And does it come in black? All this type of shit. In the third movie, they're fucking everywhere. You know, they're giving them away with Frosties. Like, apparently you can just go into the sewer and bury underneath the Batcave or the new Batcave and just steal them. Just, you know, a few explosives on the ground. There's loads of them. There's loads of them, lads. Just hand them out. They're driving around. They come in different colours. Or fucking desert camouflage Tumblers, you know. That Bruce Wayne just has lying around, and the Batpod, the bike thing, which is basically kind of essentially one half of a Tumbler, disconnects from the Tumbler, becomes the bike, and he's got them stashed all over the city, yeah, down laneways, you know, bits of Tumblers all over the city. Hey, Catwoman here, press that button, fucking this piece of technology nobody's ever driven before, just hop on there and it'll save the city, all that stuff. The thing with the ice, where they're walking across the ice and the fucking the bat signal thing went on fire on the building across from the bridge and all that annoyed me. He must have spent hours putting fucking lighter fluid on it. You know, he could have been saving lives. Batman just hanging out with the Zippo fuel, putting Batman signals all over the shop, you know, in the ice, and you know, like fucking there's poor old Commissioner Gordon thinking he's gonna snuff it. The lads are going to walk him across the ice and he's going to die, and there's Batman with the fucking the lighter fluid, you know. Oh, this'll fuck with him now. This'll wreck their head. It just fell flat for me. It just wasn't for me. The Robin character's fucking stupid. I don't like that actor anyway. He kind of fucking annoys me. But the whole Robin thing annoyed me. There's just no need for it. Just like, anybody seriously into comics or a big Batman fan, just generally the general consensus is just like, let's talk about Batman. Let's not talk about Robin, really. Let's leave Robin out of it. It just has no place for me anyway, I think. But he has no place in anything. He makes a great little character and stuff like with death in the family, and you know, there's some stories that benefit from having a Robin in there. But As a whole, fuck no. Even Nightwing, I just have no time for Nightwing. There's just this whole thing. The only kind of Batman sub character, good guy that I like was Azrael. It's probably my favorite comic book character of all time. Him and the Max. I always had a soft spot for the Max. Sam Keith's my favorite artist. I suppose we'll come out of this and play a song and come back into it. We're gonna play an Anthrax song. Going to play I Am The Law, but I'm going to play the John Bush version. I also preferred the John Bush days with Anthrax. It's just a little bit more metal, I suppose, than cock rock. So yeah, here's I Am The Law by Anthrax with John Bush. I Am the Law by Anthrax, John Bush. Obviously, that song is about Judge Dredd. Obviously, being from Ireland and having access to stuff like 2000 AD growing up was a massive influence on me, comic book wise. I remember when I was a kid, I used to have an aunt who lived in a little tiny town in Wicklow called Shillelagh, and there was a news agent across the road from where she lived, and every weekend my family kind of dragged me down to Shillelagh, and you know, sometimes we'd go camping and we'd hang out there, we'd go fishing and just general kind of weekend holiday stuff when you were really young. But there was like I said a news agent across the road, and they always had like this cool little selection of kind of comic books to keep all the kids in the town happy, and used to get all the old stuff like Action Comics and what else, Warlord, the old war comics. And one day there was a comic called Oink there, and Oink, I think from reading about it now, was kind of aimed at young teenagers, and it was supposed to be the bridging gap between those early comics like the Beano and the Dandy and stuff like that into the more late teenagers and adult comics like 2000 AD. And I remember getting Oink. I think it was every week it came out, and I go down to I could never find anywhere in Dublin that done it. Even Easons, I'm sure they did, but it's not like I was allowed in the town on my own. I was that young. But whenever we were in town, we go looking for it. I mean, the odd time you'd find it in some random news agent in town. Most of the old news agents are gone now, but you'd find Oink and you'd read it, and it was, like I said, it was this perfect kind of bridge between like the Beano and the Dandy and Wizard and Chips and stuff like that into 2000 AD. And some of the American comics, like Batmans and Supermans and that type of stuff. And slowly then, Oink, they start advertising stuff like 2000 AD, and they'd have like this pig in this weird uniform. I was like, what the fuck is that? And I'd read more about it, and they'd say, you know, fucking pick up 2000 AD next week featuring Judge Dredd. I was like, who the fuck is this Judge Dredd dude? So I'd start buying 2000 AD, and absolutely mind-blowing. I mean, even to this day, the level of writing and art is fucking astounding, considering that the amount of artists and writers that came out of that publication that went on to be massive, massive within their field. People like Garth Ennis and Mark Miller, like Carlos Esquerdes and like Steve Dillon, and like these guys are world renowned now. You put those in a comic book, they're gonna sell more, you know. They're world famous guys. And 2008, every week, I mean, realistically, every week they put out a comic book of stellar quality. They had such a reserve tank of artists and talented creative people that every week it was a fucking joy. It was a joy to get that week's 2008. I think it was on a Friday I used to get it. And to just run home, fucking lock yourself in the bedroom and read 2000 AD like two or three times back to front, and then you'd even read like the editorials and the letters people sent in. Every fucking word that was printed on a page of 2000 AD, you would read it. And then you, like, for people like me, I you know, get the scraps of paper out, or me Owen used to give me the fucking rolls of shitty old wallpaper, and that's what you draw on. You know, you'd have like pieces of pencils and pens you'd have left over from school and trying to draw Judge Dredd and shit like that. But obviously they made a Stallone Judge Dredd movie in the 90s that, I mean, people say it was shit. It was shit. It wasn't that bad. It was just a stupid fucking action movie from the 90s. I mean, considering the level of commitment that people put into comic book movies these days, that just wasn't there. I mean, like, you're talking about comics were popular, but, I mean, I think Iron Man might have turned everything around for the general populace. I'm sure there were other movies that were just as popular, but now comic books just seem to be the go-to thing. I mean, Hollywood seems to have realised that they've got the guts of 100 years worth of back catalogue stories there that nobody's really tapped into, and realistically there's nothing original, it doesn't seem to be anyway, there's nothing original left in Hollywood. You've got guys like Guillermo del Toro who are pumping out kind of cool shit, and creative kind of original stuff. But I mean, you think about it, the comic book movies are really taking over, because these characters have had in some cases fucking 60, 70, 80 years worth of character development and backstory. So when it comes to somebody making a movie, they can literally pick and choose parts of stories and parts of story arcs to make like an hour and a half movie out of. So of course these movies, if they're made well, are going to be really, really good, because it's not like they're making up the character there and then, you know. It's not like some writer has 2 weeks to finish off the screenplay and he has to just push it fucking through. These characters have decades worth of development behind them. So the original Judge Dredd movie wasn't necessarily true to the character. Whoever wrote it literally just fucking picked up some random best of Judge Dredd and said, okay, he's a dude, it's the future. He's like a judge, jury, and executioner all rolled into one. There's a place called Cursed Earth where there's like mutants. And okay, we'll have a mutant or two. We'll have a bit of a judge gone bad. And they just kind of cobbled together this fucking nonsense plot that combined 20 different Judge Dredd story arcs into an hour and a half movie. And of course, it fell flat in its face. You know, it wasn't very good. And then we've got the new one, the Carl Urban Judge Dredd, which is, it's great. It looks cheap. It looks like one of these fucking Lionsgate almost straight to DVD type of things. I mean, it had a budget. They've done their best with the budget. Dredd doesn't take the helmet off, which is good. It's good for someone like me who knows the history of Judge Dredd, but for the rest of the people who this might be their first encounter as such with Judge Dredd, it's not going to make a lot of sense to them. The characters that are in it, they're in the comic book for the most part. The way the judges act seems to be fairly concurrent with the way the judges act in the comic books. It's a nice little movie. It's grand. Mega City 1, the city looks wrong to me. That's just me. I mean, I'm used to reading the comic books where it's almost Blade Runner-esque. The inside of the buildings look kind of Blade Runner-ish, but when they showed like, the aerial shots of Mega City 1 from the sky, I don't know. It just looks like fucking... And I think it was shot in South Africa, and it looks like South Africa with some random CGI big giant buildings thrown in there. It just doesn't look right to me. But I really enjoyed Judge Dredd, the new one. It's a good little movie. I don't think they're going to make a second one because it didn't fare too well box office wise. But apparently the home DVD sales were really good. The Blu-ray and DVD sales were really good. So I think the director said he'd love to make one, but he doubts it's going to happen. And I think the same thing happened with one of my favourite movies, which is something I get a lot of grief over, going back to kind of Christian Bale. One of my favourite movies is Equilibrium. I think it's a great fucking movie. I think it's an original little idea. Original is, it's not very original, realistically. It's 1984. Really, it's 1984, but it's a cool little twist on that kind of dystopian future. The gun cat, the stuff is fantastic. That's original. I'd never seen it before. I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, let me know. I'd never seen the gun cat, the stuff, which is basically like a budo fucking way of fighting with guns. And it's cool. They have all these kind of katas worked out, so you can, one guy with two guns or with one gun can take out multiple targets by shooting at them from weird angles and contorting his body in weird angles so they can't shoot at him properly. It's a cool little thing. Yet another film where Sean Bean dies. That poor bastard. That poor fucker. He just can't get a break. Everything he's in, he's fucking killed. Seriously. And you know what? Sean Bean's a decent actor. He's not amazing. Like, you give him a fucking sword, like Game of Thrones, dude looks the fucking part. He looks the part, killing people, you know. But that poor fucker can't get a break. Jesus Christ. Every fucking thing he's in, you're like, oh, you know what, fucking Sean Bean. He's dead. He's fucking dead. You turn around, he's dead. You know, you get up to go for a pitch, you come back in. What happened? Oh, Sean Bean's dead. Oh, it's no big surprise. He's dead. Did he ever, what did he last in? Was it Sharp's War? Did he die in the end of that? I don't know. He must have something in his contract. Maybe he's kind of suicidal. He's living it out, you know, through his movies. He just doesn't want to live. He's like, you know, I want to be this dude who comes in, does some cool shit, and then gets killed. He's a poor fucker, just gets killed and everything. But Equilibrium I really liked. It's just cool. The way it's put together is cool. I like the look of the buildings. I like even the guns look cool. I went through a bit of a phase when Equilibrium came out, looking up stuff on fucking line. There was a website that showed you how to do gun kata stuff. I didn't do the gun kata stuff. I'm not that fucking bad, but I had this cool little cult following, and I think the director wanted to do a second one, but again, the sales weren't great on it, which happens. Unfortunately, people want Justin Bieber and people want fucking Twilight. I was forced to watch Twilight before. I've seen all of them except the last one. If I never see it again, it'll be fine. You know, I don't have much of an opinion on Twilight, mostly because I don't have much of an opinion on people who like fucking Twilight. You know, they're just like, here's my thing about Twilight. You ever go into a charity shop, right? I go into charity shops all the time. I'm digging around. You never know what you'll find. You went to the book section of a charity shop, and half of it is fucking Twilight books. Mostly because the people who buy the Twilight books, they can't fucking read. If it's not in, like, text speak, they can't read it. So, like, they watch these movies and they're like, oh my God, Twilight. And they go, you know, go out the fucking HMV or wherever, or Hodges Fidges or wherever fucking these people buy books, and they get all the fucking Twilight books, they take it home, they think, oh, I'm going to read Twilight and it's going to be so fucking romantic, and they open it up and they go, fuck this, after about three pages, and they end up in the charity shop. Their ma gives them away. They're fucking brand new. I've never seen a copy of Twilight, or any of the, I think there's three or four of them, I can't remember, but I've never seen any copy of any of those books that had any sort of like spine creases in them, like they're being read. They're fucking immaculate. Like, you could whip them out and lash a tenner price tag on them and fuck them back on the shelf in Easons. That's how good they are. They can't fucking read. Unbelievable. Look at that, Fifty Shades of Grey. I think Fifty Shades of Grey started out as a Twilight slash fiction, and slash fiction, for people who don't know, is basically it's like internet fan fiction, where people write stories about, say, just there's Harry Potter fan fiction, you know, where people write about fucking what Harry Potter doing after the Harry Potter series. It's their little take on it. It could be an essay, it could be a novel, it could be a short story, where they just like their interpretation about what they think Harry Potter should do. It's just a cool little story, blah blah blah, you know, creative writing, blah blah blah. But slash fiction is basically like a sexual variation on that. So there's Harry Potter slash fiction out there where like fucking Harry's having sex with fucking, I don't know who else there is in Harry Potter, a fucking troll or something. Like they basically just get all the writer takes all their own sexual fucking fantasies and sexual frustrations and turns them into words, so you get Harry Potter slash fiction. So 50 Shades of Grey, to the best of my knowledge, I should have done some research, this is what I was told, and I read a little bit about it. 50 Shades of Grey was originally Twilight slash fiction. I need to, again, I could be completely wrong, but it was originally slash fiction to do with Twilight. So I think it was Stephanie, no, that's the other one, whoever wrote fucking 50 Shades of Grey, it started out life as Twilight slash fiction, and they basically went back and they changed all the names into characters that people know now as 50 Shades of Grey characters. So I mean, and that's one of the highest selling books of all time, to the best of my knowledge. I mean, that thing was fucking taken over. I walked down Capel Street the other day, and one of the sex shops had just 50 Shades of Grey written above it. That's all it said. One of the sex shops on Capel Street, walking down the road, I seen some fucking writing above it. I was, what the fuck's that say? 50 Shades of Grey. It just says that. The name of a book above a sex shop. That's all it says. You know? I don't know what they're advertising. Do sex shops sell novels? Like, I don't know. But that catering to people, again, it's like fucking oxygen festivals or fucking forbidden fruit festivals and all this kind of stuff. They're kind of festivals for people who don't like music, you know? Like, the bands who play them, nobody really gives a fuck about. They're just kind of radio bands that like Phantom FM and stuff like that. They just play this music. They're paid by the radio, by the record labels. Like, okay, push out, you know, the Klaxons. I don't know, I've never heard a Klaxon song in my fucking life. Push out Calvin something. You know, I've never heard that stuff. They're paid this money to kind of push it out and kind of force feed it down people's throats. And that's what those festivals are for. It's an excuse for people to go and get fucking locked and just have some random background music while they dance around in stupid sunglasses and cut off jeans. And to me, books like that are for that. They're books for people who have no interest in books, you know. Twilight, I don't... Like, again, like I said, I've watched it. I've never read the book. I'm never going to. Twilight, it's just... They're simply for little girls who are given this skewed idea about what love is about, you know? And it's kind of force-feeding people into thinking about what love should be, as opposed to it being like an organic thing that grows over time. It just doesn't sit well with me. Stuff like Twilight, I find it hard to describe. That people, I find it hard to believe that people can actually like it to begin with, and I find it hard to believe that it's popular. Same with The Hunger Games. I watched that movie. It's fucking shocking. It's a battle royale. It's just battle royale, and you try to tell people that, and they go, "What the fuck is battle royale?" And you just, you know, you're fighting a losing battle. There's just certain types of literature out there that just appeal to fucking idiots. And unfortunately, there's much more idiots than there are average Joes and normal people, you know, who might appreciate, like, some Bukowski or something like that. It just doesn't, it's just fucking mental. But anyway, let's play another song, because I've been talking for like half an hour. And again, we'll come back into it again. I'm going to play a Coffin Cats song. I'm going to play Splatterhouse by Coffin Cats. That's Splatterhouse by Coffin Cats, kind of a toss-up between punk rock and psychobilly from Detroit in the States. Nice lads, played with them once, and Skeleton Crew are actually on the same label in the States as them. Nice lads. You're hearing squeaking, it's not me farting, I'm sitting on a leather seat, you dirty folks. So I'll go back to movies and books and all that type of nonsense. I was talking to somebody the other day about the Transformers movies. And they had basically they thought they were all fucking terrible. Now, I'll go with the general consensus that the third one is the worst, and none of them are great. But I'm a fucking dope for giant robots. I mean, if it's giant robots fighting giant robots, I mean, that, to me, that's a fucking winner. That's a no-brainer, you know? Being a child of the 80s, Transformers were like the cool fucking, they were the cool toys to have, that's kind of what you wanted. I don't think I ever had an official Transformers toy. We were always fucking too poor. I asked for the yellow Transformer once when I was about 6 or 7, I think I was looking for Bumblebee, and I got some sort of fucking GoBot thing, you know, out of, I don't know where the fuck, Dabamba or wherever, one of those fucking toy shops. Probably came out of Bob's Bargains and Fibsborough or something. But yeah, I never had an official Transformer, and there was always one or two kids in your class in school, you know, that had the real Transformers. You go off to their house and you fucking freak out. You're like, oh my god, you've Optimus Prime. And you spend like 6 hours trying to figure out how he transformed. And the toys were always weird when you were a kid, because they obviously were designed to look cool as like the vehicle, you know, like Optimus Prime was a truck. It looked like a fucking truck, but you transform them, it was just fucking like disformed, blocky fucking thing that roughly looked like a robot, you know. All of them were cool looking as the vehicles, and then you transform them and it was like, yeah, I suppose that's a fucking robot. And then you look at the cartoon and you're like, yeah, and they transform and they look cool both ways. But the toys, I thought, like, as cool as they were, they looked kind of fucking shitty when they were transformed into the robots. People again, as always, people will argue with you over that. But it's 4:20 a.m. I'm still going. I think it's getting bright out. I can't really see outside. The traffic on the street seems to have stopped. I seen the Brennan's bread van going by earlier, and I'm fucking starving. I was going to wave him down and see if I could get something off him. I'm not brave enough to try and wave down a truck on Thomas Street at 4 o'clock in the morning. But yeah, the Transformers movies, from bread to Transformers, there's a fucking link. I just have a soft spot for the Transformers movies. I'm the third one was crap. Apparently Galvatron is in the new one, in Transformers 4. Mark Wahlberg's in it, Marky Mark is in it for some reason, and some Irish guy, I forget his name, I think he's one of the leads in it. I'm kind of waiting for them to bring Hot Rod in. I always had a soft spot for Hot Rod as a kid, you know. He was like the cool version of fucking Optimus Prime, you know. He'd be like he'd be the Transformer that'd go in and get you a fucking bottle of Linden Village in the Offo so you could go down the lane and skull it. Hot Rod is just like the coolest fucking Transformer. So it'd be cool to see if they done like Hot Rod or Rodimus Prime. Apparently there's going to be Dinobots in it, and there's a scene, I think it's being shot in Hong Kong or Singapore or something like that. And apparently there's a scene in it where the Autobots ride the Dinobots into battle. I mean, if you're going to tell me that that's not going to be cool, even if the whole movie is shit, the fact that there's going to be robots on the back of giant robot dinosaurs fucking rampaging into battle, I mean, don't tell me that's not good, you know. I mean, I think it was Transformers 2 where Optimus Prime rips off Megatron's face while screaming, "Give me your face." That's it. That's a winner, man. That's a fucking winner. That's stone cold fact there. Anybody who didn't kind of want to jump about their seat and let a scream at that is dead inside. That two robots, giant robots, smashing the shit out of each other, and one of them rips off the other one's face. Yeah, I'll have that. I'll fucking have that, man. So I have a little sheet for every show where I kind of have just a piece of paper and a pen, and I kind of write down before the show, you know, what I'm going to do, if I want to, you know, is there certain tracks I want to play, is there some points I want to get to, or some stuff I want to talk to. This one, I've kind of gone through everything that was on my sheet and more, and I wanted to talk a little bit about TV shows, because I talked about movies, and as always, everything's there can be differences of opinions about everything, but I think everybody can agree that two of the best TV shows made in recent memory were The Sopranos and The Wire, and both of them being HBO shows, and obviously Game of Thrones now is, for me, that's up there. I think most people would say that as well, and I think the fact that HBO they just seem to have this background in being able to pick great fucking shows, and they had a show a couple of years ago called Big Love, which is about Mormons and polygamy and stuff like that, and it was fucking fantastic. It really was. It was a great show. It lasted a couple of seasons before I finished, and I finished naturally. It wasn't really a big hit over here. I think in the States it was reasonably popular, but I think I watched it. I don't know whether it was Netflix or I downloaded it or something. I watched it and I fucking lapped it up. It was fantastic. They just have a great habit of picking good shows, and they put their weight behind the shows. You know, they put money into them so they look great. I think because in the States it's a premium channel, you have to pay extra to have HBO. So they've got the money to throw into these shows, and they've got great writers that can relate to people. You know, you're pretty much guaranteed that if it's got the HBO logo at the start of it, it's gonna be good. Like Oz, you remember Oz? Oz was fucking fantastic. That was grim as fuck, that TV show. That was grim as fuck. I mean, over here we were stuck with like fucking Cell Block H and stuff like that. That was our error. You know, you might get a bit of prison in the bill or something, but then you watch that and lads getting fucking raped and stabbed, and like, it was grim as fuck. I don't know what it's like in prison. I've never been in prison. I was in a cell once, a couple of times actually, but I've never been to prison, never been to jail. I don't know what it's like, but like in my head, that when I think of American prison, it's fucking Oz, you know, so I don't want to go. But HBO have great, great backing. But I think there's a subsidiary of HBO called, are they Cinemax or something like that? But they've got this new show called Banshee, and they just finished the first season there a while ago. I think they're filming the second season, and it's fucking fantastic. It's really, really good. I came across it by accident. Just, you know, you're bored, you go to Google, you put, you know, top TV shows of the last fucking decade, or top TV shows 2012, 2013, and Banshee popped up. So I had a look at it, and the first episode was okay. It was setting itself up to be a history of violence, the TV show, where kind of an ex-criminal guy goes undercover in a small town, the Hyde or whatever, and it's got everything that you kind of want in popcorn TV. You know, it's got like a meandering story that's got loads of little twists and turns in it. It's fucking violent as fuck. It just hits all the buttons for just TV. I want an hour of random fucking fantasy. I want to shut my brain off. I don't want to worry about paying the fucking bills. Click, off you go. And it hit all the right spots for me. The fourth season's over. Ended on a nice little cliffhanger. Apparently it's doing well over here. I'm hearing lots of people in Ireland talk about it as well. So they must be showing it over here. I assume like TV3 or RTE or something are showing it. And there's people talking a lot about it, which is great. It's great to see a company, even though it is a subsidiary of HBO, it's great to see another company starting to get some limelight as well. I think it's a Showtime in the States. They do like Dexter and stuff like that. Dexter was a great show. I kind of stopped watching it around season 3 or 4. At some stage I'll get back into it. I just don't know how long they can go with the whole Dexter thing, you know. Fucking serial killer, mad bastard who kind of is essentially a cop or a forensics guy. You know, really smart, can hide his tracks. It's just fucking, it's the same bullshit over and over and over again. Speaking of HBO, I think True Blood is HBO, isn't it? And True Blood's really good. True Blood, it's fucking perfect. Again, hits all the buttons. It's got everything you want for an hour of just escapism, you know. You don't want to worry about fucking the TV license man knocking on the door, getting another one of those fucking letters, those registered post letters in the letterbox. Then something like that is fucking perfect. Click play or turn on the TV at the right time, bang, away you go. Brain fucking off, you know. Switch the fuck off. And for me, that's important. I'm one of these people who kind of thinks about shit too much a lot of the time. I'll often find that I go to bed and I start drifting off, and then this is stupid, I'm drifting off and starting to go to sleep, and I remember I'm going to die, and I just wake the fuck up, and it's this weight of fucking mortality that just sits on my shoulders for hours. I lie in bed going, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. But it's weird, from that point of freaking the fuck out that I'm going to die, and you'll hear people say, oh, you know, I'm not afraid to die, everybody has to die, and it's like, well, I'm shitting now, I don't want to fucking die, there's too much cool shit to do, I really don't want to die, I don't want to. But from that point of fucking total terror and fear, that's where, like, reality's escapism comes in, because I think about, like, shit, like, the money I owe to the bank, and the bills are coming in the door, and where am I going to get the rent from, and the fucking pub is flooding, or whatever, and I don't give a fuck, because I'm going to die, and it won't be my problem anymore. And when I think about things like that, I think about, Jesus Christ, you know, that loan I took out fucking 10 years ago, or the business that went tits up, and, you know, I have to fix X, Y, and Z, and, you know, such and such a person is fighting with me, and I go, I'm going to fucking die. Like, it doesn't matter. It does not fucking matter. You can't take anything with you. You can't take the money, and you can't take the fucking grief. You can't take it to the grave with you. So there's this freedom that comes upon me straight after the terror. After the terror hits. And it doesn't hit me every night. It's just sometimes you get this little fucking ball of anxiety, and I go, oh, fuck, I'm gonna die. And like I said, I don't want to die. You know, fucking things I want to do. And I suppose the idea is to squeeze the things that you want to do into the time that you have. But again, as always, the catch 22 is, if you fucking, you just do the things you want to do, you stop becoming, well, you can't stop becoming like a productive member of society, you know, and you can become a fucking, just another fuck up for everybody else to have to deal with, you know. So I suppose it's that striking a balance between doing the things you want to do. I want to go on holiday, I want to go here, I want to jump out of a plane, I want to fucking, you know, I have a constant fear of heights. I fucking hate heights. I would never do a bungee jump. I would never in my life. I'm just so afraid that my legs are going to get pulled out. But I'd probably jump out of a plane with a parachute. I don't know what it is, because it's kind of all or nothing. I would rather die on impact than have my legs pulled out. I don't know what it is. Always my entire life, I've been offered bungee jumps before, and fuck that shit. No, I'm not jumping off anything with a rope tied around me. But I'd probably jump out of a plane with a parachute. I don't particularly want to, but I probably would. It's the fear, like I said, the fear of mortality, the weight of mortality that does be on my shoulders, only hits at night. And it's from there that I get the release. The fear of mortality takes over from the fear of fucking paying the bills and dealing with day-to-day life. And like I said, I think you have to strike a balance between kind of making yourself happy and being a productive member of fucking society. I'm not talking about being a cog in the machine, but I'm talking about just being like decent towards other fucking humans. I think if if you, like for me, I've got a business here. I've got people who enjoy coming to this pub and talking to the staff, and this is where they want to be. I think if I was too busy jumping out of fucking planes and, you know, trying to do backflips on BMXs and skateboarding down hills, I think the business would suffer. So I think other people would suffer from me enjoying myself too much. And I think other people, I've always been of the idea that you do as much for other people as you possibly can, which is probably why fucking half the stuff in my life is fucked, because I can't look after myself properly. I do shit for other people before I do stuff for myself. But there's, yeah, we're getting fucking insightful here now, aren't we? At 4:30 in the morning. But yeah, this is show 3 of Enemy Radio. And I think we're going to bring it to an end. We're going to play a song. What are we going to play? Let's play Wisdom and Chain song, a band from Pennsylvania I really like. Play a song called Dragging Me Down. And Jesus Christ, that's kind of apt, isn't it? Dragging Me Down. Holy shit. Okay, let's play it anyway. But this is Wisdom in Chains, Dragging Me Down, and I'll talk to you again in a couple of days. One thing I'm going to try and look at is the streaming audio you're listening to on Radioactive International. It's put out there 128k MP3s, which is grand for like spoken word, for talking, which is why I like doing more spoken word than music. I just think 128k for music is just not great. Everything sounds kind of fizzly and poppy, and it just doesn't sound great. So you're trying to play good fucking music, but it sounds kind of shit. So I'm going to look into that with the Radioactive people and see if there's any way of increasing the bitrate on the MP3s. It might take a couple of seconds longer for the radio to load. Or maybe you can download it in a different bitrate or something like that. But it would be cool to be able to, if you're going to play music, for it to be heard the way it's supposed to be heard, reasonably. But yeah, let's play the song. Let's stop talking shy. And thanks a million. See you after.
1, 2, 3, go! Try not to complain, but you know me better than that. Everything gets lost inside of me. That's my negativity. That's the best of me. This place has lost in purity. I'm empty and I'm drowning. Can't see my way out. Fuck this place. Fuck this fucking world.